You what? See, this is the real reason you come to church. You come to church to meet together with other believers and to celebrate the Lord, celebrate what he's done, and celebrate what you know he is going to do. You know, I trust him. You know, just trust him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for what you have invested in us, Lord. You have invested in us your words. And they do us far more good than we realize and that we understand. And sometimes we can even acknowledge your word just it reaches beyond deep down into just the foundation, the very foundation of what we are. And so we can't always speak to the good that your words do when we allow them to take root, deep root. I pray, Father, that as we open the word together today, that you would enlighten the eyes of our understanding, that you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, that our hearts be flooded with your light, that we be able to see and rightly discern what your will is, Father, for us and for the times that we're living in. And I thank you, Father, and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in the book of Jonah, if you have your paper, you see that. You know, why don't we just go ahead and turn over there. And, you know, today when we're looking at the book of Jonah, we're sort of looking at it, not completely, but you look at it from the point. And of course, kids, since you're in here with us today, I do have candy up here. So if you pay attention, you will reap the rewards. But we're kind of looking at it from the standpoint of Israel as a nation. You know, because usually when we talk about the Israelites, we usually talk about them in the terms of God's chosen people, which they are, and they still are. But then we are also God's chosen people over here in this age of grace. You know. But we're kind of looking at it in the terms of them as a nation, kind of, you know, just briefly, and then we're going to look at a different nation too at that time. But you know, Israel was placed kind of, God placed Israel strategically in the earth. It's at the time that we're reading about, it is the crossroads of the world. All the major trade routes come through Israel. And so what that would do then is allow Israel to shine like a lamp, shine God's hope. Okay, because the other peoples of the world, their ancestors had kind of gone away from God. Not that they didn't maybe contain some understanding of him way back in their history, back in their memory, but they would have opportunity to come to pass through Israel and to see God's people worshiping the true God. And of course, they could take that back with them. So you have seeds being planted, even in ancient times. You know, Israel as a nation during this time, over the years, it had many kings. And in Jonah's time, specifically, there had been a lot of kings who had not lived like God had told them to. And God had many warnings through his prophets. And the warnings usually consist of, if you continue down this road, I will take you out of this land that I gave you. And actually, he told them that right when he first put them in the land. If you turn aside, you seek after other gods, I will take you out of this land. And, you know, eventually they wouldn't repent. So they wouldn't listen to him. And actually, the country that he used to take out the northern part of the kingdom is called... And we're gonna talk a little bit about... that was very... They were very warlike people, and they specifically were very cruel. Very warlike, very cruel. And full of violence. Okay, I mean, it's one thing to go and conquer a nation; another thing to be overly violent. As that allow this country to defeat Israel, but not quite yet. So now, during this time, he was a prophet, and you know, during the times of the kings, there was always a king and a prophet, and God would talk to the prophet, and it was the prophet's job then to go tell the king what God had said. Usually it was a message of repentance. It was usually, hey, you need to turn back from what you're doing and turn back to what God, the way God said to do things. And so here at the very beginning of the book of Jonah, God gives Jonah a message. But see, this message was not for the king of Israel. It's a different kind of message. And it's not what we're used to seeing in the Old Testament, because this message is for a different nation. And it's for that nation of Assyria that we talked about. So now let's look just at the very beginning. Very good place to start. The very beginning of Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "The Lord," and I'm reading out of the NLT today, the New Living Translation, "The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh." Now, Nineveh is the capital city of Assyria. So this very warlike people, it's the capital city there. Okay, that's their most important city. So he says, "Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are." We have very few examples in Scripture of where a place, a people were so wicked that God destroyed that nation. Very few. So it seems that there comes to a certain point where people can become so wicked that God will intervene. And really, it's probably for the benefit of the peoples around them, because they've become so wicked that they are spreading just chaos and havoc in the world that God has made, and causing so much pain that God just puts an end to it. We're just going to destroy this city. But he tells Jonah, get up and go against this, or go to Nineveh and pronounce my judgment against it because of how wicked they are. And this nation here is already at war with Israel. They've already caused bitter enemy of Israel. Okay. Now, so this capital city of Nineveh, not only this is an enemy city, but it's not just any enemy city. It is the capital. It is the place where the enemy king lives. Okay, so you know, you think about it. If God doesn't need to destroy the entire nation, if He just destroys the capital where the king is, that's going to throw the entire nation out of whack, and they're not going to have any strength left in them. Really, it would be awful hard for them to recover. So this God's message then is you're all being. Is that a happy message?
Nope.
That's not a happy message. So now here, look at verse 3. It says, "But Jonah got up." Now you would think that this is good news for Jonah. I'm going to destroy this your enemy city, the capital city of your enemy. I'm going to destroy it. Look at verse 3. It says, "But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord." Who's he trying to get away from?
God.
Well, you're right. That's impossible. So there you go. You got a little bit of an advantage over the prophet already. You already know something that he didn't. Okay. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. Now, Tarshish is the ancient name for... That's the first that he knew that he could get away, the furthest he could go. Okay? Now, right, you're right. Question here, but I have this question. Why is Jonah running away from the Lord? Why? So you have a pen, you can go ahead and write that. Why is he running away from the Lord? And Jonah would like this message. Not just running. But see, like what is God? God is everywhere. Like David said in the psalm, if I were to make my bed in Sheol, even in hell, you're there, you know. Okay, just for a second, let's take our mind off and think about the very back when God created Adam and Eve even. Did he not tell them, you can have any kind of everything that I fruit you want from any of these trees except this one tree? Now, but we all know what happened. Adam and Eve ate fruit from that specific tree. Now, did them to do that? So in that case, God did not get what he wanted, just like you have to ask the question, did God want Jonah to run away? No. So, you know, in that case, God did, in these two cases, God is not getting what he wants. But if you think about it, in any group of beings, once they have been given free will, a free choice, there's always going to be against the will of their creator. That's inevitable. Now, I will say this, even though God doesn't always get what he wants in these times, in the end, he will ultimately have his way. But that's not exactly the same as having every desire of your heart. That's not God's best. God's best would be if everyone turned to God. That would be best he has offered. I mean, after all, in the Word, it tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, it's God's desire that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth, which is why we tell people about Jesus. But not everyone will accept him, and that's their right. They have free will. God's love is theirs to accept or reject. It's this, what we just read. See, because like I just pointed out, it's God is for people have everything to gain and nothing to lose. If they want to accept God, that's their right. Because he gave them that choice. He gave them that right to choose. But see, look where we just read. Jonah, right before Jonah got on the ship, it says he bought a ticket. He bought. People who have left God are miserable. Miserable. But no matter how far a person tries to run from God, they are never too far to hear his voice or to see his power, which is what Jonah is about to see right now. Look at verse 4. It says, "But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for their lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep down in the hold. So the captain went down after him. 'How can you sleep at a time like this?' he shouted. 'Get up and pray to your God. Maybe he will pay attention to us and spare our lives.'" So the sailors are crying out to their gods, and the captain, you know, goes down and says, "Hey, you need to pray to your God." And actually, we'll see in just a little bit, Jonah had already told them about his, you know, he'd said, "I'm running away from my God." So they knew he only had. They're up there praying to their gods, but he tells Jonah, "Pray to your God." Look at verse 7. It says, "Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused the terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit." Now, have you ever noticed when people get into trouble, they look for somebody to blame? You know, you've seen a movie where the heroes are like, they get in this trouble, you know, and the one hero says, "You know, I'm you, and I've been watching it, and this is all your fault. Everyone look at him, don't look at me. It's him." And see, now look at verse 8. It says, "Why?" This is the people asking Jonah now that they have identified Jonah as the culprit. They say, "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" Now, first of all, just let me throw something in here. When they cast lots to see who problems that is from the Lord. Now, they're using divination because they think whose fault this is. But an Jonah, okay, because God controls those things, and people try to manipulate that and pervert what God has established in his word, and that's when you get over into witchcraft and divination. But in reality here, God is allowing them to understand it's Jonah, he's the one. Okay, so now it says in verse 8, "Why has this awful storm come down on us?" they demanded. "Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality?" So now, I already mentioned, you know, Jonah had already told them a little bit, but now they're grilling him now. "Tell us everything about you. This is your fault. We want to know everything about you." Okay. And in verse 9 it says, "Jonah answered, 'I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land.'" Okay, now, if I had been there, I'd have been thinking, okay, I'm on the sea, in the middle of this violent storm, and now we know it's this guy. This guy is the reason we're having this giant storm. And he told me that his God is the God of the sea. And we'll be thinking, we're in bigger trouble than we thought. Okay? That's just what I would be thinking. You mean you're talking about the God that's about to sink the ship? That's your God. Okay? So now in verse 10, it says, the sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them that he was running away from the Lord. So he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop this storm? Throw me into the sea. Jonah says, throw me into the sea. Just throw me in. Just pick me up, hurl me in. And he says, throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to land. But the stormy sea was too violent for them, and they couldn't make it. Now, this is a side thing here. Do you think that there are people out there who would have said, throw you overboard? Yeah, okay. Sounds like a good idea to me. I think we should throw him overboard. He said we should throw him overboard. You know, so guys, throw. We'll try to get, you know, and as you go through nice people, who they're nice people, but they just don't know God. They don't know him. You know, they're just like these sailors who are rowing hard. Until someone like us has put in their path. And of course, but there are that just come. And like I said many times, I don't know how people who don't know God even get from day to day. I don't even know how they get out of bed in the morning. But I guess it's just because, you know, you don't know him, so you're just going as best as you know how. You know, they've never experienced him, so they're just doing what they know. Now look here in verse 14. Now this is the sailors. It says, then they cried out to the Lord. Now the sailors are crying out to the Lord. Interesting, huh? They cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. O Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin. And don't hold us responsible for his death. O Lord, you have sent this storm upon him for your own good reasons. And yes, he did. They recognized that. That God had some good reasons for this. In verse 15 it says, then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. Now, so as soon as Jonah's body hits the water, the storm is gone. Now, have you ever seen the VeggieTales version of this, you know, Jonah, you know, and that scene where, I mean, as soon as he hits the water, the storm stops, and it's like a pretty funny moment, but I'm sure that that's probably very similar to how, I mean, all of a sudden the wind stops, the waves stop, the thunders, there's no more rain, it's just calm, you know. Now, in verse 16, it says the sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power. I mean, they're awestruck. That means they're all just standing in the boat going, right? And they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. Now, remember when the sailors, back when they were crying out to their gods, they shouted in the car talking to Jonah, they prayed to God once. One. See, they change their minds about their gods, and then they turn to the one true God. We're going to serve this God. But I mean, who wouldn't? And see, Jonah's actions then for the Jonah. So even though Jonah takes this detour, God works these things out for good. And now you have this entire ship of sailors who are now serving God. Now, that's not to say that if Jonah hadn't done what God had said in the first place, that other people might not have turned to God on his way to Nineveh. God might have had something better down that path. But see, now there's still people benefiting over here because God is working all things together. You see that? So now, if you make a mistake, you know, don't run away from God. But see, you can turn any situation around for good. Okay. Now, we saw what happened with the sailors. Let's take a look at what happens with Jonah now. We're going to segue over to Jonah's side. In verse 17, it says, "Now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah." Not necessarily a whale. Could have been. But it says a great fish. Who knows? It could have just been God can do all things. Could have been a fish that was a brand new species, something that God had never even made before. Could have been one specific fish that God made specifically designed just to swallow Jonah. You know, maybe. Who knows? Things die. That's the cycle of life now. That's the world we live in. Maybe it's the immortal fish. I have no idea. Okay, now look, so it says, and it says in Jonah, so now in verse 17, "Now the Lord had arranged for a great swish to fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and three nights." 3 days. Probably other fish inside the big fish. Gross. 3 days. Think about this. I mean, have you ever slept in a place that is unfamiliar to you? Some place that beside your bed. Hard to get to sleep in a place that's unfamiliar to you, right? Inside a fish would be pretty unfamiliar, I think. But 3 days, three nights. Now, you remember? Think about. Have you ever seen the movie Pinocchio, the Disney film? You seen where where Pinocchio gets swallowed by the whale? And, you know, inside that whale, there's this shipwrecked ship, you know, inside there. And, you know, there's torches. There's places to lay down. You know, there's people to talk to. You know, the torches. Now, it was not like that for Jonah. You know, now think, that whale in the movie, the Pinocchio movie, would have had to be huge to swallow a ship, to have a ship fit inside it. And you think about this too, that movie, you know, you got this fish this whale, and it's swimming along, and they're just sitting down talking, and they've got torches and everything. And it wouldn't be like that. I mean, the fish is swimming. Fishes swim up and down. I mean, it would be constantly, right? So now, it also, since Jonah has no torches, would have been pitch black. I mean, pitch black. And then, well, I mean, I guess you'd have to. But see, you can survive 3 days without food. You have to remember that it's a miracle that he survived 3 days. You know, and there are people out there, I mean, Christians out there nowadays who are trying to say, oh, this story is just an allegory. It didn't actually happen. But our God makes miracles. And he has his own reason. And actually, you know, Jesus over there, you know, in the New Testament, they asked Jesus for a sign. Jesus said, he said, no sign will be given to it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. No sign will be given to this generation. He said, for as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah is a type. What happened to Jonah is a type and shadow of what would happen to Jesus. Okay, so God did this, performed this miracle for a reason. God always performs miracles for a reason. Okay? And there's one reason in this case. So another thing to think about, has anyone ever thrown you into a pool in your full clothes? Miss Tammy's brothers did that to me one time. Bless them, good Lord. Now, you know that feeling, you know, when you're sopping wet in full clothes. And shoes, too, yeah. Now, think about this. Jonah is sopping wet in full robes. Okay? And there's nothing to rest on, like in that movie Pinocchio. There's no ship. There's nothing to rest on. He's just laying there inside this squishy, cold, wet fish. Inside this big fish. And it would have smelled like fish. Actually, it would have smelled like the inside of a fish. Okay. It's like that for 3 days. But again, you know, yeah, Sam keeps saying, I would die. Well, it's a miracle, son. Our God makes miracles. And then, see, now Jonah prayed. Okay, now, would you feel like praying after 3 days? And so, praying is a good place to start. And we're going to read his whole prayer. We're just going to go through here. Chapter 2. It says, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. It would have felt like the land of the dead, I'll tell you that. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Seaweed wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. Now you got to remember that Jonah's a prophet. And those that fish's jaws would have literally been the jaws of death for him. Okay? So he's prophesying things that haven't taken place yet. God hasn't delivered him just yet, but he's praying. You snatch me from the jaws of death. There's no physical evidence just yet, but Jonah believes. Okay, he said in verse 7, it says, as my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods. He just talked to a few of those guys just a few days back. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies. But I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise. And I will fulfill all my vows. A vow is something that you told God you're going to do. So now he's saying, I'm going to fulfill my vows. Every vow I ran away from, now I'll fulfill them. For my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. Now think about this. Since God assigned, prepared this fish to swallow Jonah, do you think he could also tell the fish to spit him out in a good place to get to Nineveh? It wouldn't even surprise me if he spat him out just right on that road. You know, you see, right, as soon as he gets spit out, there's a sign there that says Nineveh. Could have happened. Okay. Now, what's funny about this is now look at verse one in the next chapter. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. So now this is funny to me. The fish has just spit Jonah out onto the beach, and God says, Get up. And go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. And look, it says in verse 3, this time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. Jonah preached the message God told him to. Look back. And just real quick in chapter 1 of verse 2, verse 2 of chapter 1, God said, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. Yeah, that's right. Jonah did preach the message God gave him. That's his entire sermon. Can you imagine a sermon? Imagine somebody walked to Cedar Creek and said, 40 days from now, Cedar Creek will be destroyed. That's the entire sermon. That's the entire message. See, God's message was never repent or be destroyed. It was not your living in a wicked way. It's a wicked way. It's this city will be destroyed. That is the entire message. Now, aren't you glad that Jesus gave you a message? Confess Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead. Saved. Saved. Now, let's see what the Ninevites thought of this message that Jonah gave, this message of no hope. In verse 5, it says, the people of Nineveh believed God's message. And from the great to the least, they declared a fast and put on burlap to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from his throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in burlap and sat on a heap of ashes. Then the king and his nobles sent this decree throughout the city: no one, not even the animals from your herds and flocks, may eat or drink at all. People and animals alike must wear garments of mourning, and everyone must pray earnestly to God. They must turn from their evil ways and stop all their violence. Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind and hold back his fierce anger from destroying us. So even though God didn't say to repent, the people of Nineveh did it anyway. They repented anyway. To change your mind, living, and go the other way. The Ninevites changed their mind about their evil lifestyle and stopped living that. And their king said, who can tell? Who can tell? Perhaps even yet God will change his mind. Verse 10 says, when God saw what they had done, he had threatened. God responds when people respond to him. Now look at the next chapter here. It says, this change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. What's he angry about? That the city's not being destroyed now. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before that you would do this, Lord? That is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Now, you remember that question that I told you to write down? Why did Jonah run away from God? Here's the answer. Jonah ran away because he knew that God would be willing to not destroy the city if the people returned from their evil ways. You know, I guess he must have had a knowing in his heart that they were going to respond. Why else would he? See, he figured that if he wasn't there to deliver God's message, that God would just go ahead and destroy the city. That's human thinking. That's thinking with just a man's point of view. That's okay. Well, if I'm not there, like, God can't raise up another prophet who would go and deliver this message. Like, he couldn't find somebody who would be obedient to do it. Now, see, I like the way, and I don't usually like to use the message a whole lot, but I like the way the message put this, just in this particular time, you know, just in this particular verse here. It says, the way that it puts it in verse 2, it says, Jonah was furious. He lost his temper. He yelled at God, God, I knew it. When I was back home, I knew this was going to happen. That's why I ran off to Tarshish. I knew you were sheer grace and mercy, not easily angered, rich in love, and ready at the drop of a hat to turn your plans of punishment into a program of forgiveness. A program of forgiveness. I love that. Now, you remember, the message is a paraphrase. It's not a translation. It's just somebody that went through and put down their interpretation. And so you don't use it as a Bible. Just, you know, you can use it to compare sometimes it's got some interesting things in there, but you gotta look at it just like you would look at any other source, you know, any other study book that's out there, you know, and those are useful sometimes. I love that program of forgiveness. Now, you remember the message? So just be careful when you read it. Now, next, God asks Jonah a question. Okay, get it in verse 4. It says, the Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Now think about that. You know, Jonah just got angry, yelled at God. You see how patient God is. You know, God doesn't wipe Jonah off the face of the earth just because Jonah got mad and complained. Okay? Jonah's being honest with God. He's mad. He's just being honest with God. And God says, is it right for you to be angry about this? Think about it, Jonah. Is it right for you to be angry? Now, see, it says here in verse 5, then Jonah went out to the east side of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. But see, you know, Jonah doesn't give God an answer. He doesn't answer him. Well, you know, there are a lot of times people won't give you an answer. Doesn't mean they aren't thinking about it, though. Now, the first time I read this verse by myself, it blew me away that God's answer just blew me away. You know, but God, why does God ask him the question? To get him to think about it. I want you to think about this, Jonah. What is the big picture? What is the real... See, because Jonah's just thinking, well, God's going to wipe out our enemies. But what is God's thoughts? How does God see it? Okay? Now, so he's looking... So we said, we just read, he went out to make a shelter, and he's looking at what's going to happen to the city. What, you know, now you kids, you ask your parents for a candy bar or something like that, and their answer is no. What's your first response? Please. Please. Come on. I was a kid once. I did it. But see, here. Look at verse 6. It says, Lord God. Now, God's going to, he's going to try to teach to Jonah here. And the Lord God arranged for a plant to grow there, and soon it spread its broad leaves over Jonah's head, shading him from the sun. This eased his discomfort, and Jonah was very grateful for the plant. But God also arranged for a worm. The next morning at dawn, the worm ate through the stem of the plant so that it withered away. And as the sun grew hot, God arranged for a scorching east wind to blow on Jonah. The sun beat down on his head until... "This is certainly better than living like this," he exclaimed. You got to keep... I used to think, well, you know, God's making this scorching east wind blow on him. That's kind of mean. But in reality, Jonah really should never have been there in the first place. If he had been where he was supposed to be, he wouldn't be in this scorching east wind, would he? Now, in verse 9, see, now Jonah gets mad. Or into verse 8, just, you know, he says, death is certainly better than living like this. You know, sometimes we get angry and say things we don't mean. I don't really think that Jonah really meant this. Probably not. I don't think he really meant that. Now in verse 9, it says, then God said to Jonah, because the plant died. So now this is a similar question, but God's being more specific now. Is it right for you to be angry? First he says, is it right for you to be angry that the city's not destroyed? Then he says, is it right for you to be angry that the plant died? Okay. And then he says, is it right for you to be angry because the plant died? Yes, Jonah retorted. Even angry enough to die. It's pretty angry. He's trying to get Jonah to reevaluate his priorities. All people are important to God, not just the Israelites. And God kind of hints as to why. And look at verse 10. It says, then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant. Now see, Now, notice, I always wondered, you know, why did God make that point to tell Jonah, you didn't do anything to put that plant? You feel bad about the plant, but you didn't do anything to put it there. But see, what's God saying between the lines? See this city with all these people? I made those people. Is that not what God is implying? I did something to put those people there. I put an effort into them. It says in Psalms, Lord, you formed me in the womb. Amen. So now, look at verse 11. It says, but Nineveh, God's still speaking, but Nineveh has more than 120,000 people in darkness, not to mention all But see, isn't this exactly why Jesus came as well? To save people who are living in spiritual darkness. See, God looks at the wickedness that they're doing and the pain that they're causing, and he sees them as spiritual darkness. Okay? So we need to be praying to God and asking for his direction and speaking to people who don't know him. Remember, he told us. He said, you're the light of the world. And he said, if no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket, hides it, but they set it on a stand, one who comes into the room will light. Amen? I'm going to close right now. Father, we thank you for your word and this simple message wrapped in an important lesson. What is your design for people's lives? And you have a plan for every single person's life. Jesus said, many are called, few are chosen. Many are called. The entire world is called to repentance. So we ask, Lord, that you give us opportunity, give us divine appointment, people in our path, that words to speak. We pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, before we get into the questions for the kids, I'm right at the, I've still got just a couple minutes here. So I have this box that I sent back there, and we had talked about over a series of weeks, I'm going to leave that box there, and anybody who has questions about the Bible, about God, whatever, spiritual matters, I don't want to have any people asking me where the closest bus stop is or anything like that. But if you write those down and put them in there, we'll get to a point, a Sunday where we will just spend an entire message just answering questions. And you can put them in there anonymously if you want to. Didn't bother me. I don't care. You know that. And then what's the other? There was something else I was going to mention too. No, I guess that's all right. No, we're good. Okay, so I got questions for the kids, and of course you're all dismissed. If you want to go now, you can. If you got some place to be and you don't want to sit through the kids answering questions, that's fine. Now, kids, you all know the rules. Raise your hand. No shouting out answers, because then that's gonna cause confusion. We don't want that. And so then I've got 12 candies here. How many? Right, congratulations. No, you don't get any extra. Okay, so... So let's see. I've got 7 of you guys. Well, add up. I'd have to have 15. Once, and each one of you lie. And of course, you all know you don't have to raise your hand and answer a question if you don't want to. Now, ready? Ready? Okay. Number one. You can't raise your hand yet. Number one. God would have destroyed Nineveh. Will to be merciful to them. Who was that, Mr. Bill? Well, it was his will to be merciful. Jonah himself talked about how God was eager to show mercy. That's why he ran. I knew he wanted to be merciful to them. That's why I ran. All right, number 2. What kind of lesson Did God expect? What kind of lesson? That's a hard one. Think about it. I'll give you some time. It's a hard one. About salvation. I'll accept that. Yes. And another thing, you could put it this way too. You could say he's willing to be merciful if people will change their ways. He's willing to be merciful. Now, number three. Why did Jonah say he ran away? Why did he say? Oh, yeah. It's on the tip. But Jonah knew that God would. Think about it, and I'll move on, and let me know when you got the answer. All right, number four. What good thing happened on the boat after Jonah was thrown over? What good thing happened on the boat after Jonah was thrown overboard? Well, yeah, okay, I'll accept that. But it was, but the sailors vowed to serve God.
That's what I was going to say, but he said.
It was it? Okay, all right. Shoulda, woulda, coulda, as they say. All right, number five. You have the answer yet, Noah? Did you think about it? I can't. Do you want to pass that question on to somebody else? Now we're over in Family Feud. You already answered. Any of you other guys know the answer to that? Let's just skip it because there's other questions that you could answer. But I'll go ahead and give you the answer. Okay. Why did Jonah say he was running away from God? He knew that God would be merciful if he had the chance to be merciful, so he ran. All right, now number six. And I'm going to switch over. No, excuse me, number five. Number five. What was the reaction of the people of Nineveh at the preaching of God? How did they react? And turn around and live the right way. Isaac, stop giving people answers. I can hear you. You got it right, because he says they put, he second guessed himself. He says they put on Bert. They put that to show that they were repenting. It was a symbol of repenting. Yeah. Go ahead and come on up. I want you to firm up your answers for next time, okay? Firm up your answers. All right. Now I'm going to switch to some true or false ones. And I think I've just got Kayla and Timothy and Luke left. Timothy, Luke, you answer? Yes? Luke's like, I'm not going to answer. If you and they can answer for you. Because I know. All right. Okay. Now, God was patient with Jonah, even though Jonah showed anger to God. That was Kayla. That's true. All right. God's patient, even with people who are running away to Tarshish. Okay. Number six, or seven, excuse me. True or false? God used the plant dying to show Jonah that just like Jonah cared for the plant, it was right that God should care for a city full of people. Is that true or false? That's true. You got it. All right. All right, Luke, you're the last one. So are you answering? Are you having mom or dad answer? No? You can't have his candy, no. All right. No. He said, no. He said, I'm not going to have a representative. No. He's refusing representation. Okay, well, that's fine then. That's good. You want me to go through another round of questions?
Yeah.
See, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I've only got 5 questions left because, no. Nope. Sometimes the answer is just no. All right, you guys, you're all blessed with candy. Everyone's dismissed.
Yay.
Yay.